you come. Brother Gary is doing a great job teaching us on prayer. Amen? Amen. Thank you, brother.
Okay, good morning, saints. Good morning. We're going to open up God's Word to Isaiah 65. I'm going to launch out from there. Isaiah chapter 65. I know me and my bride got to go with Pastor and Miss Sharon over to the pastors' conferences or over there, and wow, what a blessing it was! And we heard some dynamic preaching. Yeah. You know, we have one. Our missionary brother Shemesh was there, and he's always a blessing. And you know, Brother Shemesh has his own style, and he's pretty mild, but he has a way of getting it to you. And then we heard like three other guys. One I've heard before, Shipley. Shirley, he's great. And then there was two others. And these guys are, oh boy, it makes you wonder. They're all over the place, you know. And but it was good. So just had to pass that along. So we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 65. We're going to launch out from there. And we're going to look at some questions about prayer today. So let me read this verse, Isaiah 65 and verse 24. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah 65, verse 24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your word, Lord, and how it tells us that before we even ask, you hear us and you answer us, Lord. And sometimes I know the answers aren't what we won't, but Lord, you know everything, and you're going to have your will, Lord. So help us to dig into this, Lord, and Lord, just don't let me say anything that will be out of context with your word, Lord, and guide us through this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we're going to look at, you know, the word says, before you even call, he's going to answer. You know, guys, I don't know about you, but we serve a God that spoke everything into existence. You know, and when he tells me in his word that before you call, before they call, I'll answer. And while they are yet speaking, I'm hearing it. So that's a blessing to me. I want to read you a quote from D.L. Moody. And it goes right along with what we're looking at. The two essential means of grace are the Word of God and prayer. By these come conversions, for we are born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By these also we grow, for we are exhorted to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. That's in 1 Peter 2:2. And we cannot grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Peter 3:18, except we also speak to him in prayer. It is by the word that the Father sanctifies us, but we are also bidden to watch and to pray, lest we enter into temptation. Matthew 26:41. These two means of grace must be used in their right proportion. Excuse me. If we read the Word of God, the Word, and do not pray, we may become puffed up with knowledge without love that buildeth up. If we pray without reading the Word, we shall be ignorant of the mind and the will of God and become mystical and fanatical and liable to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. So one goes with the other, folks. It takes prayer and the Word of God. So with this, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some questions about prayer. The first one, point number one, we're going to look at where are we to pray. Now, guys, I know you know all this, and you probably even know the scriptures, but it is good to look at scripture, okay? So we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. So go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, right after 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So here it tells us we're to pray everywhere. But as I dug into this verse, I found four things in this verse that are worth mentioning. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. So that's the first thing. We're to pray everywhere. The second thing is lifting up holy hands. Now, guys, I don't know about you, and there was a time in my life that doing this in church, just I didn't do it. And the way I was raised, you never seen nobody raise their hand in the Southern Baptist Church, and that's where I was raised. Now, then they were really online with our Bible, but they're not anymore. But anyway, you know, when we look at this, you know, raising hands in the temple in the Old Testament was very common. You know, they would go into their temple and they would worship and look up. So when I seen that, you know, I said, okay, yeah, lifting up holy hands. So we'd pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. The next part is lifting up holy hands without wrath. You know, guys, if we have wrath in our heart, it's going to hinder your prayer life. It will. I mean, you try to pray and you have anger built up. It's not easy. It hinders you. So you need to take care of that. So we're to pray everywhere, lift up holy hands without wrath. The last one, without doubting. That's what it says here. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. You know, guys, faith is a necessary element of prayer. Very necessary. What does Hebrews 11:1 say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So when we pray, we're to pray everywhere. The next part of that is lifting up holy hands. It's okay to do that, guys. It really is. Without wrath and without doubting. You know, like I say, faith is a necessary element of our prayer. And I think all of you know that. And then let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we're to have a prayer closet, guys. I don't think the scripture's saying go and find a closet, close the door. And, you know, we think of closets like where we hang our clothes at. I don't think back in this day that meant that. Maybe it did. I don't know. But I know we all should have a prayer closet that we go to, not just for prayer, just for studying God's word. So it's all a part of that element. So it says here, it says, in the closet, and he will reward you openly. Okay? Now, let's look at the next thing. Look at the temple or the church. Look in Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. And we're looking at the temple, or for us it would be the church. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1 says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So they're going up into the temple to pray. Look up in just a few verses up from there in Acts 2:46. It says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. So it's advising us, you know, we can pray in the church, we can pray in the temple. Where are we to pray? Everywhere, basically. Okay? So point number two, that was where are we to pray? Point number two, when are we to pray? Go to Luke chapter 18. Now, I know you know it's when are we to pray? We'd pray always, right? But see what the scripture says. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verse 1. Excuse me. Luke 18, chapter 18, verse 1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Faint men, meaning not to give up, not to give up. So we are to always pray. Men are to always pray. That's what Jesus is going to say here in this verse. Okay? So how about this one? Used to be our, I think it was last year or year before last. Anybody remember what our theme for the year was? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So point number two is, when are we to pray? Well, we're to pray always. We know that. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Let's go to Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 3. Psalms 5:3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. So here it tells us we're to pray in the morning. If we look in Psalms 55, which is just a few chapters over, Psalms 55 and verse 17 is another time we should pray. It says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So that's there telling us, you know, when we should pray again, evening, morning, and at noon. Now, I want you to look in Psalms 86. We're still in Psalms 86, verse 3. It tells us, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. That's a daily thing. And then in Psalms 88, 1, just one over, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night unto thee. So in this point, we're to pray always. And then the Bible goes through, it gives us examples basically of David, how he prayed in the morning and in noon and daily and day and night. So there again, when are we to pray? Always. Always pray. This is scripture that proves it. So that's point number two. Point number three tells us, what are some things for which we ought to pray? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So in this verse, there are six things it tells us we're to pray for. The very first one, pray for the return of Christ. You see that in verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come. That's praying for the return. How about the will, thy will be done? And that's in the next, that's in the same verse. Thy will be done is, or basically, excuse me, the will of God be done in our lives. And then the next thing, how about daily provisions? Well, we see that. Give us this day our daily bread. That's daily provisions. Forgiveness. And forgive us not. And forgive us our debtors. How about guidance? You see guidance in verse 13. And lead us. How about victory over temptation? That's the rest of verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So there are six things that just in that one verse that we can pray for. Now the next one, how about praying for the sick, the infirmities, or one another? Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 16. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing hymns or psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we're to pray for the sick and the infirmity and for one another. Okay? If we look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we see verses 1 through 4. It tells us, I exhort thee that first of all supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honest. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of God. So here we're to pray for all men. We are to pray for those in authority, and we are to pray for the lost for salvation. Okay, now let's look in Isaiah chapter 38. Now these are some classic ones that a lot of us know. I think a lot of these we learned, and I learned them in Vacation Bible School when I was a kid. Isaiah chapter 38, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 38, verses 1 through 5. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face unto the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer and have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee 15 years. So here, he's praying for long life. And something else you see in that same prayer, God changed his mind. How did he change his mind? Why did he change his mind? Because one of his saints went to him and prayed fervently to him, weeping sorely, begging God, and God changed his mind, didn't he? Okay? All right, let's look at the next one. Go to Daniel. I know this is a real classic, Daniel in the lion's den. Go to Daniel chapter 6. I'm getting there. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is considered a minor prophet. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 18 through 23. Daniel 6, 18. It says, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went to in haste unto the lion, unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" You know, when I was reading this and looking at it, I thought, wow, Daniel comes up and says, I mean, the king comes up and he speaks, and he's not knowing what he's going to hear. And then when Daniel comes back and speaks to him, that had to have... In my heart, that would lift me, you know. I mean, you think you're throwing somebody in that lion's den, they're going to get eat up, folks. You know, especially if they're hungry. And if that would have been me, they'd have been hungry, I'm sure. But, you know, he says this, and then what happens in verse 21? "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. So, Daniel, I mean, that's prayer for safety. Okay, the next one. How about for wisdom? What are we going to look at for wisdom, folks? That's the same thing I thought, but it's not. No, but we're going to look at wisdom in 2 Chronicles, which is about the man that wrote the Proverbs. 2 Chronicles, chapter 1. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at Solomon here and what he asked of the Lord. And it's pretty amazing how many people would really ask what he asked. Okay, 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 7. It says, "And that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before thy people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thy enemies, neither yet hast thou asked for long life, but hast asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee to the like." So here we see Solomon, he's praying for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. How about in Romans 1:10? You don't have to go there. I have it. pray for a prosperous journey. You know, when we pray for people for travel mercies, that's what we're doing, praying for a prosperous journey. Romans 1:10 says, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And then in 1 Timothy 5:17, I'll read that to you. Pray for those over you in your local church. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word or in doctrine. So this is a list of prayers. I do have to say this, though, and it was brought up at our meeting over there, and I brought it up to the men Friday at our prayer meeting. So we're to pray for those in our local church that are over us, for those that labor in the word. You know, and one of the guys brought up about how a pastor has to labor in the word. And he said, and it makes a lot of sense, you know, you think of a pastor, he has to study for Sunday morning, right? Then when he's done, he has to think about Sunday night. And then when he's done with Sunday night, he has to think about Wednesday night. And then it starts all over again. So these guys that are laboring in God's word, it says here, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. So, you know, we need to be praying for our pastor. You know, now he don't only have to do that, he has to keep up this place. He mows the grass, and that's a big deal right there, folks. You know, I don't know how long it takes, but it takes a while. You know, so he has to do that. On top of all that, he's trying to build a house for the last 3 years. You know, so we need to be praying for our pastor. Amen. You know, on a constant basis. Okay, so with this last one here, what are some things for which we ought to pray? Well, we ought to pray for the return of Christ, the will be done in our lives, daily provisions, forgiveness, guidance, victory over temptation, for the sick, for those in authority, for long life, personal safety, for all these. And then, guys, I want to read to you a quote that I found that is by Charles Spurgeon. And it goes along with prayer life. It says, to seek aid in time of distress from a supernatural being is an instinct of human nature. And I agree with that. You know, have you ever been around a non-believer? And I was around one that had a chainsaw kicked back on him and caught him right here and ripped him. Pretty good. He was not a believer. You know what the first words came out of his mouth were? Oh God, help me. That's an instinct. Okay? It says, to seek aid in the time of distress from a supernatural being is an instinct of human nature. I believe in the truthfulness of this instinct and that man prays because there is something in prayer. As when the Creator gives the creature the power of thirst, it is because water exists to meet that thirst. And as when the creature hungers, there is food to correspond to that appetite. So when he inclines men to pray, it is because prayer has a corresponding blessing connected with it. So guys, you know, when we pray, you know, these are just some things. I mean, you guys, we're not amateurs here. You know, most of you have a lot more in going with the Lord than I do. Probably all of you do. But some of the things we are pray for, it's good to go to that Bible, and we did. You know, that's why I know a lot of you knew this, but it's always good to go to the Bible and read it. You know, you can quote verses to people, and we do it in the jail ministry. I know John probably does it. We quote verses out of the Bible. But when you can go to the Bible and read that verse, you know, it's like there's something to it. It's still got meaning, but it's like it just is more power to it to me. So that was my lesson on some questions about prayer. I hope it blessed you. I know it did me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Father, for what you've done for us as Christians, Lord, how you made ways for us to get in touch with you, and it's through prayer. And you talk to us through your book, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we can take this and be able to apply it to our lives, Lord, and help us in all that we do. Pray you be with Pastor in the next service, Lord, and if there's somebody here that don't know you, Lord, just pray that today would be the day of salvation. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.